Okay, we are still the Gemara about Habayin Malaysav. We're on page 369. We are on page 369. Oh, we'll fix it later. Don't worry. We're on page 369. We are up to pay the Malbim Pasuk Vav Habayinim Vashamayim Malaysav. Hashem built in heaven his chambers. Malbim, who al pimasha kosaf noite shemayim kayiria hamikode v'mayim aliyos v'Hashem. He spreads out the heaven like a garment, and he creates ceilings or floors of water aliyos of our chambers. That means that Kodesh Baruch Hu in shemayim, this somehow means that water is a part of the structure. Yosad eretz al mechaynecha. Period. This boy etzli b'feir shemaisa bereishis ki achash tchil hoya olam. Next page. After the world was kula mayim. Page 371. Kula mayim b'mayim b'ritzoyis Hashem shetiskale hayabasha. Originally, the world was pure water. Right. That's what we learn maisa bereishis. Vayavdel lukim bein hamayim asher mitachas l'rokia. So originally the entire world was filled with water from top to bottom. Hashem then made separation. The separation allowed there to exist an area, a makom, for a human being, for this world to exist. And that is considered here to be kula mayim b'mayim b'ritzoyis Hashem sh'tiskal ha'yibosh not ha'shamayim k'yiriya hay mamash ha'shom b'teva ha'mayim sh'yalu b'edim el ha'rokia shehu Igul Hanashim. I have no idea what this means. This is Kabbalistic terms, or maybe not, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated the water, but he allowed there to be a principle where water rises. It rises upwards towards to the clouds. V'sham nifridu hamayim asher hayu me'oyrovim im ho'avir v'nishadu bi'igul Hanashim. I don't know what this means. K'mo she'amar
and
the mountains came forward yosad eretz al shebono. Okay, I'm just reading words here. I really don't know what this means, but the basic Okay, these are very complex words, which we're not going to go spend time trying to figure out and analyze. And the basic idea over here is that Kadosh Baruch Hu, when the world began, we know that the world was pure water. And Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world by separating the waters. By separating the waters, it created the opportunity for the earth to come forth, for the mountains to develop, and for there to be a mokaim where living creatures can live and thrive. Now the point he wants to make is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to destroy the world, all Hashem is doing is just bringing the world back to its original state. That's the point. That is the point of this Malbim. We like to think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring punishment to this world, Hashem is sending down fire and brimstone. Hashem is going to destroy the world by doing something new, launching missiles to bring a Chorban to this world. That's not what it means. Hashem doesn't bring destruction. Hashem just restores the world to its original state. If you ever had the experience of having an electronical device, a computer, and you can't get it to work, so they tell you, okay, let's do a factory reset. There's a little teeny button you don't even know about somewhere on the back of your device, and if you stick in a needle, a pin into this little button, then your device, your smartphone or your computer or your laptop will be reset exactly the way it was when you first saw it. Is that called a punishment? Are you punishing your computer because your computer is not behaving well? It's giving you a hard time, so I want to punish it? If you want to punish it, you take out a hammer and you start banging on it until you bang the smithereens, like you see in some of the commercials. People are so frustrated, they take their computer and they destroy it. That's not what you're trying to do. What you're trying to do is to do a factory reset. factory reset will restore it to its original state. This is what it means here in this place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, over here we're describing it. Rechol, yeah?
Remember the Chazal when Hashem says to the Malachim, be quiet or I will return the world to revert back to Tohu Bohu.
It's going to go a factory reset. Hashem is saying we're going to return to its original state. This is what the Pasuk here means to say. Pasuk Vav is saying, this Pasuk is describing, really, Pasuk Hey as well, is describing how Hashem created the world. And everything from starting from Pasuk Hey, it seems, all the way until the very end, until the last word on page 368, everything from the beginning of Hay until that word is describing creation. The last word, HaKoyre L'mei Hayam VaYishbechem Al Pnei Haaretz HaShem Shemoi, is basically the factory reset. That is the reversal. It's not a punishment. Hashem's not punishing. Hashem says, let's just start all over again. It's like you have a student who doesn't behave. So you didn't behave in the class. So you know what? So instead of being promoted to the next class next year, you're going to repeat the grade. You're going to repeat the grade. Is that called a punishment? Not necessarily. That is a
teacher.
It's a punishment of the teacher, right? It's not okay. Thank you very much. Okay, please, in the future, really, it's not necessary. Thank you very, very much. Good. But it's a fact. You're repeating the grade. You're not punishing. You're just restoring and resetting what was originally. When the child who did not learn the study, he did not get an education. He does not know the material. So he can't possibly go forward to the next class because he did not learn what the material that was supposed to be studied in the previous class. So we look back at the psukim. It's a very deep idea. Go back to Pasuk Hey on page 368, where it says, Vashem, it gets more of a flavor. According to the Malbim, everything here really is just a description of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's creation. And that's why it makes a lot of sense why it says Tzivakos. Because Tzivakos means the host. It means, and the Malbim, in fact, we learned before, he says the host Lamala and Lamata. We are describing creation. Hashem Elohim HaTzivakos. Hanogea Ba'aretz Vatamoik. Hashem touched the earth. He touched the earth and the earth moved. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're describing here expressions of creation. We don't know. Now here, the Avlu called Yoshe. Okay, that's not correct because it says over here. Okay, maybe I take that back. Maybe that's not really what it's referring to, but maybe it's only from Pasuk Vav and on. Okay, let's really leave it to what the Malbim said himself. Pasuk Vav and on is Haboine Vashamayim Aloisav VeAgudosel Eretz Yisoda. These are very complex, sophisticated terms of the description of creation, according to the Malbim, which, like I told you, I don't really know what this means. And when this concludes, when this creation and if Klal Yisrael has not achieved the purpose of creation, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls L'mei Hayom VaYishbechem Al Pnei Haaretz. The separation between the Mayim HaTachtonim and the Mayim Elyonim, which gave this world existence, will be reverted. The world will flood, will come together, and we're going to start the world all over again, or at least revert back to the way it was before. Don't think of the marble as punishment. Think of the marble as a factory reset. That's a very interesting idea from this marble. Okay, now, let's now take a look at the Mamore Chazal. A few Mamore Chazal on these things, a very beautiful Mamore Chazal. Going back to Pasuk Hey. There is no Maimer Chazal on Pasuk Hey, but we have on Pasuk Vav. On Pasuk Vav it says, on the page 369, Haboine b'ashamayim ma'aloysav v'agudos el eretz yisadot ton rabbanim b'shamay oimim shamayim nivru t'chila v'achar kach nivrei saaretz. We're going over here into Mamish, the secrets of creation. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create first? What?
I don't know.
No, it's not that. Don't worry. After we'll finish, we'll figure it out. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Relax. We can survive without it for a day. Oh, now it works. Okay, look at that. Isn't that amazing? Some things in life are just so bizarre. Baruch Atah Adonai Elohim Melech Olam Shehakol Nehyeh Vayehi.
Drain the cup. Turn your head.
Has a life of its own. This device has a life of its own. Okay, I think I understand what the problem was. I'll tell you all the secrets later on. Okay, let's go. Haboine v'ashamay ma'ale oisav v'agudas l'eretz yisadah. Okay, one more time, page 369, Tanur Rabbanan, this is the sequence. Beis Shammai says, It says in the pasuk, "Bereishis bara Elokim es hashamayim the es haaretz." So what comes first? If we translate the word bereishis as we've all been taught in kindergarten, it means in the beginning. If we choose to focus on the translation of the Targum Unkelus, bereishis means in the beginning. What came first? First comes shamayim, and then comes haaretz. Shamayim nivru tchila, the achar kach nivrei haaretz. Shenemar bereishis bara Elokim es hashamayim the es haaretz. Ubeis Hillel Oimrim, Eretz Nivreis Techila, the Achar Kach Shamayim, Shenemar. There is another pasuk that says just the opposite. Bioim Asois, Hashem Elokim Eretz Vishamayim. So we have a contradiction. We have two pasukim in the Torah that clearly contradict one another. What is the answer? How could you say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Shamayim first and then the Eretz? That's not how you do construction. In the world of construction, do you build the chambers? You don't build top down, you build bottom up. Adam boine aliyah vi achakach boine boyis shenemar ha boine bashamay. So Amru Beshamai Beis Hillel, who holds that what came first was the Eretz l'devrechem. Adam boine aliyah vi achakach boine Boyes, Shenemar, Haboine ba Shamayim Maloisa, the Gudos el Eretz Yisada, Hare ha Shamayim Nigru Aliyah. The Shamayim is called the Aliyah. So I don't know if he's bringing a pasuk to contradict himself.
No, the Eretz Yisada.
The foundation is called the pasuk. Okay, anyway, so we're using our pasuk to prove that it has to be like exactly what you said, that the Oretz came first and the Shemayim is second, because this pasuk says that the Aliyah, the Shemayim, is called the Aliyah, Ma'aloisaf. So this pasuk is integral, because you can argue the world is not comparable to a structure. A structure has a foundation and has an aliyah. That is a physical structure. But this world, there's no such, it's not comparable. Apples and oranges.
It's also not a human construction.
It's not, okay, that's a side point.
Which,
but
you don't know what's up and what's down.
But the fact that this pasuk in Beis Hillel is critical to their argument, because this pasuk clearly states that this world that Hashem created operates with the same rules of construction that we are familiar with, because the pasuk calls the earth this foundation, the yesoid, and calls the heaven ma'aloisaf. Now that Hashem himself, through the Navi, has given terms, has given vocabulary to describe the earth and the heaven, we are entitled, this is part of what we are entitled, our entitlement to do is to say that the world has to be created according to the laws of physics. And in physics, first comes the earth, the lower chamber, and then the upper chamber. If Hashem would not have given us this vocabulary, then you're right. Then you can say it's none of our business. Hashem, it's a different system, it's a different world. We're not familiar with these things, and we should stand down. But Hashem has given us this vocabulary, and with that comes our entitlement to relate to creation in physical terms. Now, you hear what's going on? Okay, let's go a little bit further. We have to go a little bit further and understand what's happening here. Let's go further. According to your interpretation, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the earth first and then the heaven, because we operate according to these rules, there's another set of psukim which indicate the opposite. Adam oise shirafraf, the achar kach oise kisei. Does a person first make the footstool and then make the couch? You first have to make the main chair, the couch, and then to match the couch, you build an accompanying footstool. And in fact, you don't even know that, you know, a footstool is all relative to the chair. If you have a very elaborate chair, so then your feet are going to be in a different position, you have to have a different type of footstool. The footstool can only first be defined after we know what the main chair looks like. Shnemar, Koymer Hashem, Hashamayim Kisi, Vioretz Hadoim Ragloi, is my footstool. So the Gemara now points out, there is a stalemate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And the stalemate is so difficult, how do we relate to it? We have a contradiction, we have no way to reconcile the contradiction. Koshu kirohe ahadadi, amar Reish Lakish. So here comes the answer. Reish Lakish says, kishinivru bara shamayim, v'achar kach bara haretz. Indeed, they're both correct. Elu v'elu divrei elokim chayim. Hashem first created the shamayim, and then he created the aretz. But Hashem, it was like a... What are they called today? Today when they deliver houses on trucks.
Prefabricated.
This earth, this world that we know, Rabbi Isai, was prefabricated. Prefabricated. Hashem, as we always say, was ahead of his time. Okay, he was economical. He sent it on trucks. They shut down the George Washington Bridge at night in order to send all of the parts. Wide lanes. In order to put the world together, prefabricated the achakach baretz uchishenata. When he assembled this world, then nata haaretz the achakach nata shamayim. Now this Maimon Chazal, it's really off the charts because here this is like probably the age old debate. There are different schools of thought in how we relate to creation. There are many people today who are writing books and are studying all the various sciences and trying to show with everything they got that creation can be understood scientifically. Okay, it's not a contradiction. The Big Bang is not necessarily a contradiction to creation. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world was through something like the Big Bang, whatever all that means. There is a creator those who do not believe in a creator, Chas v'Shalom, so and they believe this world came about in the Big Bang. Well, who created all of the elements? Where did everything start from? Where did the matter start from that there could be a Big Bang according to their theory? I mean, they don't answer that question. They don't. Oh, the world just came about by accident. Everything just happened by accident. Okay. Even if you want to say such a foolish thing, but in order for it to come about by accident, there had to be some choymer. There had to be some material matter that could collide with one another in order for all of this to happen. Who created the original choymer that allowed a Big Bang to occur? Who created that? Maybe you're right. Maybe this whole world is one big nightmare. It's one big accident. But where did the matter come from? So many, there are people who want to take, Elu v'Elu, they want to take the best of both worlds. There's a creator, and there's also a scientific phenomenon, an understanding of how the world came about in a scientific way. And some want to say, no such thing. You can't even... The world that exists today will defy science. And there are definitely schools of thought along those lines who say that there are internal contradictions in science that cannot be reconciled, and the existence of this world does not follow the laws of science. We have science, the way the world operates, the way the world...
But there has to be a creator.
But in creation, in how this world came about, the science does not hold up. The contradictions and the questions are too great. It can't be that the world came about through a scientific process of an expansion, a Big Bang. I'm not familiar with these terms. L'cho'oira, this disagreement in modern times, in these two schools of thought, is an age-old machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Because Beis Hillel is saying, look, it says here in the Pasuk, Yisada. The earth is Yisada. It says that the heavens are Ma'aloisaf. We are human beings. If Hashem has captured, as has defined the heaven as an upper chamber and the earth as a foundation, and we relate to these terms on our level, that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world on our terms. And yes, the creation of the world can be understood scientifically. And there is no contradiction in science. We can, if we don't understand this because we don't know the sciences, we don't really understand it. Yet the day will yet come when there'll be new discoveries and new depth in understanding how nature works. Beis Shammai says, I don't know what you're talking about. Because it says in the Pasuk that this world is Hashem's footstool. Hashem is Yoshev on the Kisei HaKavod. And Hashem's Kisei is the Shemayim. And this world is his footstool. When you're dealing with the world from Hashem's perspective, and Hashem is Yoshev on the Kisei HaKavod, this is not a physical world. This world does not operate according to the laws of physics. It operates in a spiritual plane that is above and beyond our understanding. Don't try to wrap up the mitzvahs of creation in scientific terms, because it's not a scientific world, it is a spiritual world. I've been clear? The machloikis Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is a machloikis, and they are arguing about creation. What came first, Shemayim or it's Eretz Shemayim?
Shlokish is coming to compromise them.
By Papa, you mean? Oh, wait, sorry. What's the answer? The answer, right? Yeah, so that's the next step. So, what is the Gemara's answer? The Gemara's answer is, you know, something bo elu va elu diri eloki b'chayim. There is elements of both.
Why didn't someone come and say they're both done together? Yachad.
Well, that's really what he's saying. He's saying is Hashem when He created the parts. The parts were created according to our first the earth and then the heaven, which according to what we're trying to suggest is that yes, there is a dimension of science that goes into the world of creation, but yet when HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts all the pieces together, it doesn't hold up. Then the focus is Hashamayim, the heaven is Hashem's throne. And this world is nothing more than Hashem's footstool. It's a spiritual world. Science has no place in the assembly. Now, what is the difference between creation of the parts and the assembly? I have no idea.
See, I would have thought it would be the opposite. That from the top, Hashem creates the component parts. And then in
assembly.
Terms, the assembly.
Interesting. I hear what you're saying. Right. So maybe that itself is a dimension which is mind-boggling to understand all this comes together.
Science itself today is confused by their own findings. I mean, they make supposed laws of physics which change every century.
Right. So we're not yet even finished.
And not the laws of physics.
See, all of this is moot to us because science is not yet fully understood.
Settled.
It's not settled. There's still a lack of understanding. There's still a lack of mystery. That's not yet known. Maybe one day we'll have a full... Is it possible that we can one day have a full comprehension of the laws of science, physics?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Who knows these things?
The trouble is that science isn't necessarily objective. And by positing that the universe is created somehow randomly, that lets people off the hook. It's a world of random...
It's an escape.
And a Malik type...
Right.
It's an escape that if once you recognize there is a creator,
then you're
a prisoner in your mind. I have to now be a servant to the creator. And being that man by nature does not want to be a subordinate to another being, you're looking for an escape, an excuse that there is no creator, so I can live a life of hefker.
Right. Is there a chazal that the in order to be matir, right?
Yes, that's the famous chazal. We learned that on Friday. That's the halach. That's correct. The only reason why they worshipped the Egel was because they wanted to go back to living with their forbidden relatives. When the Torah was given, it says in the Pasuk, Bachu l'mishpecha yisav. What's the whole pasuk? What's the beginning of the pasuk? The whole pasuk.
B'chol
am boicha. Where is that pasuk?
In Baloscha.
Baloscha.
And that's in that paragraph.
It says they were boicha l'mishpecha yisav. Al iskei mishpecha yisav. After Matan Torah, they discovered. We discussed this on Friday. That guess what? now that we have the parasha of the Torah, I'm not allowed to live with my wife because she is my aunt. I can't live with my wife because she is a half sister or whatever it is, something like that. So they were very upset. It was disruption. People were very upset. They had a divorce. They didn't live it down. And 40 days later, subconsciously, Chazal are telling us that subconsciously, 40 days later, when Moshe went to Shemayim, he didn't come back. They couldn't wait another few minutes. What? Since when do Jews come on time? I mean, come on over here. Come on over here. What's the rush? Give Moshe Rabbeinu, give him some slack. We'll come a few minutes late. What's going on over here? The answer is because there was something that was bothering them very, very much. They never forgave Moshe Rabbeinu for forcing them to get divorced. And it caused them a lot of pain. And it's only because they've now adopted this new religion. That's how it is. Torah is very demanding. You're asking a good question. Hashem did not come to give us the Torah to make it hard for us. You're saying very good. Olam chesed yibane. Hashem did not create this world to torture us. In a philosophy, there's an approach called evil genius. That Hashem created, there is a God, and God created because he loves to torture creatures. And this whole world is just a torture chamber for mankind. That's a philosophy 101. Brooklyn College. Evil genius. So Chazal were very, this was a way of thinking. And if you think about it, you know, there's a lot of, it would appear to be correct. Look at how much suffering exists in this world. Look at people. Look how much suffering the average person, people have a great life, people who you look at and they have the greatest life. Okay, that's right, they have a great life, objectively they have a great life, but you know how much pain they went through to get there? How much pain every human being goes through? So why is there so much pain? So there is a school of thought that says that there's a God, there's no way you can explain this world without there being a God, but how could it be that this God allows there to be so much evil, so much harm, so much pain, so much evil? Mm-hmm. So it must be, it's in English, what's it called? A sadist? A person who enjoys to bring suffering upon other people.
Sadist,
right? So they attribute this to Rahman al-Itzlan, Apikorsis 100% to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And it's called the evil genius. Okay, this is a whole topic. You can get a PhD just in this topic. My cousin, he probably knows this stuff. I remember he came to us to eat. When he was in YU college, he used to come to us often, to my parents often for Shabbos. So now I was then in college taking a course in philosophy, and he was also I know he probably was ready. I don't know where he was up to. And I mentioned the evil genius. And he looks at me like this, you know, this Tamima sticker yeshiva guy that doesn't even know, you know, doesn't even know what's on television tonight. And he was blown away when I started discussing with him the evil genius. He couldn't believe I knew this stuff. He couldn't believe, how do you know this stuff? He has a PhD in the philosophy of religion from Princeton. Couldn't believe I knew this stuff, the evil genius. But this is Chazal. What did Chazal respond? Olam Chesed Yibane. There are three words in Tehillim which reject this principle. The Mesorah of David HaMelech, the Navi. Three words that reject anyone that has a PhD in this philosophy. You're out. Yimichutz lamachaneh, olam chesed yibane. Hashem created the world to do chesed, to do good, to be mahana, to give benefit to mankind. How could it be? But we see people suffer. We have to have emuna that the suffering is for the ultimate purpose of chesed. It's very hard. There's no question about it. That's why you have these people who are non-believers, because they cannot swallow, it's too hard for them to swallow. You need emunah. It all comes down to, at the end of the day, tzaddik be'emunaso yichyeh. Bo Chavakuk ve'hemidon al achas, tzaddik be'emunaso yichyeh. The questions are much greater than the answers. And the only way to accept the answers is only through emuna. So here, how we got into this discussion of this of I don't even know how we got over here, but the point over here is I think this Maimon Chazal is really off the charts. It's a very powerful Chazal of Machlekes, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, and the question is, how do we relate to creation? If you go into a Judaica store, on the bookshelf, you'll have a whole shelf on books discussing the creation of this world. Scientifically, not scientifically, how we relate to it, is a machlokes. Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, this is the Aleph Beis. Beis Shammai says, first came the Shemayim, then comes the Aretz. It's a pasuk, you can't argue with Beis Shammai. Bereishis bara Elokim es ha-shamayim v'es Aretz. Beis Hillel says, no. V'yoyim b'roi Elokim or Eretz v'shamayim. Contradiction. Beis Hillel says, I'm right. You know why I'm right? We go learn Sefer Amos. In Sefer Amos, the heavens are described as the upper chambers, and the earth is described as the foundation. If the Torah defines these elements of creation in human terms, which carry with it the laws of physics, a foundation, it must be, I'm right, the earth comes first, the heaven comes second. Beis Shammai says, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but there's another set of psukim which describes the heaven as Hashem's throne, the Kisei HaKavod. And this earth is nothing more than Hashem's footstool. And the Gemara says, that's it. The end. The curtain closes on the Gemara. How do we understand this? What are they arguing about? Is creation something that mankind can relate to in the laws of science? Or is something that creation, something which mankind cannot relate to, it's something that's above and beyond our understanding. It's Hashem's Kisei HaKavod, His footstool. We don't have any connection to these things. This is not for us. Kisei HaKavod, what's the Kisei HaKavod? We don't, these are words which mean nothing to us. We don't have any understanding of these things. So it's a whole different way of looking at creation. And what's the Gemara's conclusion? Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. There are different dimensions. This dimension of each part being created according to the laws of physics, the laws of science, but the synthesis of creation, how it all comes together, this is beyond the world of science. Physics and I don't even know all the terms, all the sophisticated terms to describe creation, they will never be able to understand the synthesis of all the elements, of all of the, which were created according to laws of science, how it comes together in creation, that cannot be understood. We combine Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Okay, this is fascinating stuff. I mean, this is really, this is what has to be written in the introduction.
Science always thought that the other universe was created is older than the earth, and in the last 20 years they're very confused by the fact that they date the dating right now, and the way they do it is that the earth is 13.5 billion years old, but the rest of the universe at averages to be about 9 billion years old. So they're confused by the fact that the earth seems to predate the rest of the universe, and they don't understand. They can't figure it out. They're confused by getting the rock samples, by getting other things. And so they postulate, they're at odds with their own findings.
Fascinating. So you can see it. You see exactly what this says. You can say maybe the earth is we can explain, and the universe we can explain, but putting two together doesn't add up.
They don't make any sense.
Doesn't add up. Exactly what it says here in the Gemara.
They try to say that the earth, the outer planets are much bigger than earth, to act as a catch-all for any foreign objects floating around. It protects the Earth by having Jupiter and Venus, Jupiter and Saturn so large that they just run interference for the Earth from the, asteroid belt and all these things floating around, and it catches anything that would hit Earth.
Amazing.
You know what's interesting, Rabbi? In the second day it says that when he separates the water... separates the water below from above. It's the below comes first and above comes second.
So it says mentioned that the Lord is below. Interesting. You're right. What is the significance of that?
Yeah.
I don't know. He's saying very good. We have to say something first. Yeah. Like Shemayim Baretz.
Well, there always has to be something first.
Right. That's the question.
This and that. So what do you say?
What do you say? Both same time?
You can't say both same time.
Yeah, when you were saying, you know, it's like somebody want to get top billing, the co-stars, and everything. Fight. Whose name should be first? Somebody's name has to be first.
Okay, let's now go to the next Mamor Chazal. Okay, and this is Nogei Halacha L'Maisa. Lulav, Aguda. Aguda, we discussed the political party. Now let's discuss the myths of Lulav. Arba minim shebelulav. There are four minim. Shnayim mehem oisim peiros to produce fruit, the hadasim and the lulav. Ushnayim mehem ein oisim peiros. Wait, what is that correct? What about the esroik? Esroik doesn't produce peiros. What?
It's a pre, so a pre
doesn't produce a pre. The seeds of an esroik do not produce new esroikim. So why don't we say there are three? The lulav produces food, it produces the dates. Okay. Dates, and the hadasim produce berries. So like you say, maybe what? Why not? Maybe the two are the esrog and the lulav. All right, let's see. Two produce fruit. So I guess we have to say it's the esrog and the lulav. Shnayim mehem oisim peros, the berries of the hadasim, I guess they're insignificant. Oisim peros, ushnayim mehem ein oisim peros. Ha'oisin peros zikugim l'she'ein oisin v'she'ein oisin peros yizikugim l'oisin peros. They all need each other. That's why it's all be'agud achas. V'ein adam yoytzei dechoy vasoy b'chen ad she'yu kulon be'agud achas. So we have four minim, to produce, to do not produce, and the mitzvah is to take all four together. And if one is missing, one does not fulfill his obligation. What is the nimshol? This is a mashal for Klal Yisrael. Bechein Yisrael behartzoah. Now the word behartzoah means when they're pleading with Hashem, they're in a matzav of rotzoin. They're trying to extract from HaKadosh Baruch Hu good will. That's the word behartzoah. And in the brackets, he translates the words kashehem misanin ve'ein ne'enim. They when they fast and they will not be answered. In other words, where they're now in a state of requesting goodwill from Hashem, the goodwill will not arrive, it will not be answered. Ad sheyiyu kulon be'aguda achas. Shenemar, haboine vashamayim ma'aloisav va'agudosoy al eretz yisada. Who is the aguda? Agudosoy elu Yisrael. Kishahim biyachad oz, the drash is yisada. Then they are established. Being established means you're successful. You always say that this person is very well established. He's very well established in life. It's an expression which means he's successful. Where's the success? The success. So he's making the drasha that the word success is directly related to the word agudasoy, aguda. This is the connection. Omar Bishman and Bechasida called Tainish Einba Mipoisha Yisrael any fast day. Where we do not include in the fast day sinners, ain't a tainish shenem sharei, because it says in, what does it say, the sharei? Okay, the next page, on page 370, you put on the side, sharei chelbena, there are how many ingredients in the Kintores?
11
ingredients, achad asar, and one of them is the chelbena, which has a pugnant areach ra. Chelbena reicho ra, umina'o hakasuvim samani Kintores, including the samani Kintores. And therefore, what do we learn from that? We learn from that that even the poishe Yisrael, the wicked, have to also be included. What's going on here? The wicked have to be included in bringing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu a nachas ruach. The Ketores represents the highest form of prayer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has satisfaction. Abay Amar Mehacha. V'agudasoy. The source for this comes from this puzzle we just learned. Agudasel Eretz Yisada. The aguda includes everyone. No one left out. We just did that. We just did that on the previous page. Before you came in, we discussed that going to the Lulav and Eshrek. Rabbi Chalafta ben Doisa Ish Kfar Chananya Oime Asar Shiyoshim Veskim B'tar V'shchim Shir B'neim Shinemar Elokim Nitzaba Daskel Hashem stands in the assembly of five. U'minay Nafilu Chamish Shinemar V'yagudos El Eretz Yisada. And why is an Aguda five? I really don't know that. I don't know why it's called five. Where do you see the word Aguda? So the Aguda is called Al Eretz Yisada. I don't know why.
With your hand?
I guess so. Okay.
Why this Tehillim is calling it Tuesday?
This part of the Shir, we don't ask questions. Came to us, right? This is no question. The Aguda so Al Eretz Yisada. Okay, so the Aguda is five. Okay, fine. So that's this Shabbos, I went to a Shalom Zohar, and it was the person's fifth grandchild. So I said, now you have a political party, because in order when you have five, you achieve the state of Aguda, as says the Pirkei Avos. 10 Shechina. I mean, I feel Chamisha Aguda Seleretz Yosta. Now that you have five grandchildren, you have achieved a political party, the Aguda. Shloisha Sheyoshim.
What? What does mean?
You can't do this. I told you. Shloisha Sheyoshim Veiskim Batara Male Aleim Hakadosh Baruch Hu Kilu Nasu Aguda Achas. Now in this Chazal, it says three. This is something that we are not familiar with. We are familiar with it. It says there has to be five. But here it says Shloisha Sheyoshim Veiskim Batara Male Aleim Hakadosh Baruch Hu Kilu Nasu Aguda Achas. They're called an Aguda. Lufanav Shnemer Haboine Vashemaim Ali Yosef. Three that sit together. This Chazal in Avos the Rebbe Nosson. Avos the Rebbe Nosson is so fascinating. We are familiar with Pirkei Avos, but there's competition. You think that's the only Masechta Avos? There's Avos the Rabbeinu Nos is a very fascinating sefer. We should one day learn it together.
There's a lot of overlap.
A lot of overlap, but there's a lot of differences. And there's a lot more. There's a lot more in Avos Rabbeinu Nos, and it's so amazing that even Art Scroll published an entire volume translating and elaborating upon what it says in Avos the Rabbeinu Nos. Avos Rabbeinu Nos is basically a competition. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, he compiled the 60 Masechtos. But he had competitors. The competitors are the ones, every time the Gemara refers to a competitor, it refers to the Braisos. Bara means on the outside. The Mishnah is on the inside. It's been accepted to be the authority, our halacha, but there are things that did not make it into Rabbeinu HaKadosh's compilation, into the Mishnayis. But they're authentic. They're just as good. The Apocrypha, it's not really the Apocrypha, it's the Apocrypha of the Torah Baal Peh. It's on the outside. It's holy, it's sacred, it's just not part of the Ikar, the Braisos. And who wrote these Braisos? We have many, Rabbi Chia wrote Braisos, and there are many Tanoim who competed, so to speak, with Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and also compiled Halacha from various sources, and put it together in one body, and they called it whatever they called it. Many of these Braisos, these compilations, don't exist today. They're lost. They're gone. The only way we can reconstruct them is through the Talmud. When the Talmud refers to, the Hatanya, we learned in the Braisa. So when the Gemara refers to the Braisa, look at that, we have the Gemara has mentioned a statement in the Braisa, which we bring together, and we try our best to reconstruct the entire selection, the entire Braisa the way it was. But unfortunately, there are things that we do have. There are things, you have to go, people who go into these type of things, but generally, most of it has been lost. And the only thing that we can do is we can collect it by trying to find bits and pieces of these Braisa that have been found elsewhere. Look, Avram Avinu, he also wrote Mishnayos. He wrote a Masechta called Masechta Avodah Zarah. How many parakim are there in the Masechta Avodah Zarah Avram Avinu? 400. And how many do we have? I think 10? I forgot something like that. We have 10. So what happened to all of the parakim of Masechta Avodah Zarah of Avraham Avinu, it's lost. Likewise, we have the Mishnayos. We have competitors who wrote many Mishnayos, and their Mishnah, these collections of Brisos are all gone. We attempt to reconstruct it by looking at what it says in bits and pieces where they're quoted. So just like there is one thing that did survive, and that is Avos Derabbeinu Nosson. Avos Derabbeinu Nosson basically is a similar collection of Maimori Chazal from Tanoim about Midos Toivos, and it's a competition to the collection, the compilation of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. And in fact, Rabbi Nosson, when he compiled his memories, he selected things which are a direct contradiction to what Rabbeinu HaKadosh included in his compilation. And here is one very simple example. The word Aguda, is the word Aguda connote 5 or does it connote 3? In Pirkei Avos, from the 60 Masechtos, that is the Ikar, the word Aguda is a word which connotes 5. As you just explained to me, because when you take an aguda, when you take something in your hand, you have 5 fingers. Aguda typically means you hold together. I hold together a collection of wheat, a collection of reeds, a collection of whatever you want to hold together. You need 5 fingers to hold it in your hand, to hold an aguda. So the word aguda means 5. But Rabbeinu Nosson, in his competition to Rabbeinu HaKadosh, he cites a chazal that says, no, aguda means 3. Yes, hold.
How many pieces were there in the agudas ezov?
3.
3.
Oh, good, excellent. So you are suggesting, well, it's really 2. It's 2 with the hyssop. It's the 8th eres, the shli tolas, that is tied, the eighth eres, and the ezov, that is tied together by the shni tolas. So it's really 2. And the third thing, the aguda, the one that creates the aguda, is scarlet, is that red thread of wool that puts it together. In the sum of everything, it's 3. So I guess if you want to use that as a source, fantastic. You want to use the word aguda as the source for there to be 3, we have to look at the agudas ezel. It's fantastic. Or maybe you want to say is a braid. You can't really, an item cannot be self contained as an aguda unless there are a 3. I can take, if I have 5, I have 100 items, all they're very thin, I can take it in my hand and put them together. I can take 2 batteries and a pencil and a paper towel, and I can all hold it in my hand as an aguda. What's making an aguda? My hand. When I let go, each one is completely separate. There's no way in the world I can go and I can take these 2 batteries and this pencil and have them joined together on their own. I need to be that force. But if I have, and even if I have 2, let's say you have something, you have 2 strings. Also, there's nothing I can do that can bring them together. But when you have 3, there is a possibility that they can be bound together without me intervening. How? Well, you braid, you make a braid. In order to make a braid, you need to have 3 items. And as long as they're pliable, you can mix them together. So maybe what it means over here, the reason why aguda is called the 3, in addition to what you're saying, Michal, that aguda comes from the agudas ezov, which has 3 items. Maybe aguda means that's the machlokes between Rabbi Nosson and Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Is an aguda mean that it's self-contained? The aguda stands on its own. Or does the word aguda have a connotation? It needs someone from the outside to put the two together, put them together. If you need an outside force to bring it together for it to be called an aguda, then a third party, then we're going to focus on the number 5. Because the outside party is the yad. And the yad has 5 claws, 5 fingers that are going to bring it together. If you want to focus on the fact that the aguda is a bond in and of itself, does not need a third party to come in and to manage and tell you what to do, then 3. Because if you have 3 items, and they're flexible, you can create a braid. It's together. They're together without any intervention. Perhaps, a thought. Let's see it again. Instead of here, this is their observation. Also, we will come to the Maimon Chazal. Okay, let's go over 3 lines down. Shalosha. Here's an understanding. Shiyosha v'yoskim b'Torah. male aleihem hakadosh baruch hu kilu nasu aguda achas lefonav shnemar. This pasuk here, haboineh vashamay ma'alayis, Hashem builds in heaven his chambers, vagudosa, he is with aguda al eretz yisada, the yisoid, the foundation. It's already called a foundation when there is an aguda, and aguda has to mean three. Hakorei lomai lemei hayom vayish bechem. Hashem calls the waters of the yom and he pours them out. Al pnei eretz Hashem shemoi. I'm assuming we're focusing on the same words as before. Agudos el eretz yisrada hol lomadeta shleisha sheyoshim ve'iskin matara male aleim akilu nasu agud achas. There's a yisoid. The yisoid means Hashem is established. Hashem's presence in this world is established through the aguda nasu aguda achas of Nekodesh Baruch Hu. Okay, next, Maimer Chazal. Loi sis goy didu. A person is not allowed to gash himself upon the loss of a relative. The goyim, it was their custom that if they lose a relative, they cut themselves. As an expression of grief, they cut themselves on their forehead or on their head. They pull out their hair and they gash themselves. The Torah says... The Torah, I'm sorry, I love you, but we were right now.
They are going to cut themselves for the
someone
that was killed.
We can't hear you loud.
Loi siskaidu. There's an Isser derais of loi siskaidu. Loi se asu agudoi. So what Chazal darshin? Lo, in addition to the simple interpretation, the person, the Klai Yisrael, should not be this halachic principle. Lo se asu agudois agudois. You should not make yourself into different groups. You should all bind together in one group. One group. And therefore, now, and it's a very beautiful drush, and as a dvarm shudim adam, why does this pasuk, why did Chazal darshan this on this pasuk here? Because it's so common that when a person dies, that's when families split. Okay, talk about all of the rebbes. When a rebbe dies, so what happens? It's machlokes. Who's going to be the next rebbe? And what happens? The chassidah splits. It fractures into two different parts, or three different parts. And families, there's a fight over money. So the nisoyon of life, of separating from your chaverim, from your family, is at a time of death. Normally, there's a person, a family member, who keeps everyone together. And with his passing, then they don't share anything in common. They don't share that common bond. And then, if there's something to fight about, money or kavod, then that's more of a reason why we should have nothing to do with one another. So the Torah says, the pshuta shel mikra is at the time of death, don't go and cut yourself. But Chazal, on the same passage that discusses death, says there's a prohibition for the Jewish people to be in different groups. You have to come together. You have to come together in what you do in mitzvahs. Now the classic examples are, the shaila is like, this is just one of a million examples, is wearing people who do not wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed with people who wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Are they allowed to daven together? If you have a minyan, and in your minyan, half of the people, it's their custom to put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and the other half have a custom, bedavka, not to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Are they allowed to daven together in one minyan? You need 10 people, 5 and 5 on Chol HaMoed. There are opinions that say that this is an Isser de'oraisa. Isser de'oraisa of lo yiseskoi didu. Everyone has to conform to one custom in this setting. When it comes to tefillin, it's not just a minhag of how you shake the lulav. Let's say you have 10 people. This one shakes the lulav this way, and the other one shakes the lulav in a different direction. Is that called lo yiseskoi didu? No. There's no one that says that's called lo yiseskoi didu, because that's only a minhag. It's a meaning of how to shake the lulav in which direction. But when it comes to wearing tefillin, the issues of why yes and why not are much more significant. There's much more substance in the disagreement. It's a matter of how you understand or not to go through now. So that is a very delicate matter. There are some shuls where the rabbi will not let Yehorig Val Yavar in one minyan for there to be two groups. Those who want to daven weird tefillin have a separate minyan. Some, they say they have to at least daven in another room in the lady section. Okay, so that and some say, which most poskim paskin, there's no issue whatsoever. You can daven together. I learned the Torah of Das by Rav Kahana, And he held that there's no Isser whatsoever. He's a very big Paisek. He's a very big Paisek, very, very big Talmud Chacham. And he learned the Sugi. He learned the Sugi, and he was a Paisek. And he says, there's nothing to discuss. There's no Isser whatsoever to have a minyan to have people wearing tefillin and not wearing tefillin in the same room. I think that is pretty much the accepted halacha. The minhag, though, is that when it's possible, when you have already enough people, is that they should try to daven on different rooms or different sides, not to be all mixed together. Like, either daven in the ladies' section, or if there are ladies, so they daven on one side of the shul, that it should not be in your face. That there is a, but not that it's an isser, there's no necessarily halacha. Okay, there are many different examples. But it all is based upon this pasuk of lo sis goy to do. Lo sasu agudois in halacha. Everyone has to follow the same custom. There are many different applications of davening. Let's say you go to Eretz Yisrael, you're keeping one day, you're keeping 2 days, they're keeping one day. Or let's say a Ben Eretz Yisrael comes to visit here in Chutz Li'aretz, and he's only keeping one day, and he's coming to shul. So is it proper that he should be putting on tefillin in the presence of everyone who's not wearing tefillin? He's mechuyev to wear tefillin midaraisa. And the people in the Beis HaKnesses, the Chutz Li'aretz, this Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios. So that's clearly something that is not proper. That's Leisis going to do. You don't go, if you're a Ben Eretz Yisrael, visiting Chutz Li'aretz, and you only keep one day, you don't go and sit in front of the shul with your tefillin on and join a minyan. That is something that's much more significant. And things like that. Let's go further. Leisasu agudois. So what's the source? The source over here is that and the Eretz, you have to be one. You have to be one aguda. Anything that you do in this world to establish Hashem's presence by doing a mitzvah, doing an act of chesed, when you're coming to miyaseit, the Shekhinah on this world can only be achieved through one aguda. Everyone has to be an aguda, not aguda sov. Agudo sov. Does not say in the pasuk that Hashem's agudois are scattered all over the place. Next, Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. It sounds like a song, right? Right? So this is plagiarism. We have to sue Art School. They took a song and they put it into this. It's like they say, what's the big deal? David HaMelech, he wrote Tehillim. Well, you just copied the Siddur.
That's a pasuk in Chumash.
What?
It's a pasuk in Chumash, not David HaMelech. Yachad.
I'm sorry. No, you're right. Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. Where is that? In Zoyis HaBracha. In Zoyis HaBracha. Show us how much I know. Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. Why did David get credit for writing Tehillim? All he did was he just copied what it said in the Siddur. Right? That's all he did.
You sound like somebody from my shul.
Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. Kishahem Asuyim Aguda Achas. When are they called Yachad? When is it called Shiftei? It's Shiftei when it's Yachad. Veloi Kishahem Asuyim Agudos Agudos. Next. A person brought two ships and he tied them together with hoignin uve ashosois, chains. Ashosois are chains, hoignin are ropes. I think it means thick ropes. He tied the two ships together. Vehemidan, and he positioned them belev hayam. Uvon alehem. He built upon them a palace. He built some type of a ship to dig for oil out there in the sea. Right? Calls man shasvinois kishua zoibizo palteirin kayomin. Parshusvinus ain't once they separate, ain't palteirin kayomim, they can no longer exist. So let's look at the mushrooms. It's a fascinating idea. You're out in the sea. The sea, it's turbulent. There is no anchor out in the sea. There's nothing you can do to stabilize yourself when you're out in the sea. The only way to stabilize is to hold on to one another. So if you bring out there into the sea two ships, or for that matter, many ships, and you tie that one. You cannot build something significant with one ship. If you want to go, you need a foundation, you need a platform that's much larger than a single ship in order to build something significant. So what is the solution? You bring out into the sea many, many ships, or in this is two ships, and you tie them together, they're put together, so each one assists in the other. We now have a large area, and now we can build a beautiful structure upon it. But if some devious person goes underground, under the foundation, and cuts the ropes and cuts the chains, and the ships begin each one to move away, what happens to the structure that's built upon this? It topples down. So look at the idea. This world, there is no stability. We think that we live in a world where everything is hard, bedrock, it's secure. And everyone can go build their own tower and build their own religion and live in their own hashkaf, live in their own world. The world that we live in, there is no anchor, there is no bedrock. It's
a blima.
Toila eretz al blima. We're living in a yam. We're living in a place where there is no stability in this world. We're living in a violent, dangerous, chaotic, turbulent world. The only way we can accomplish something and build a structure and build something in honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by holding on to each other, each in their unique way. This ship was made by Mercedes-Benz, this ship was made by Tesla, and this ship was built by Honda. The only way you can achieve, you can come together, even though each one is so different and so unique, is only by holding on to each other. Such a beautiful mashal. Agudasai. It's only when we see the word aguda has a connotation that there are separate items, but they're coming together. Only when you take separate items and you bring them together do you have al eretz yisoda. Kach yisrael kishen oisim v'sir shalmokim boinim aliyosav v'ashamayim. When they come together, they build chambers in heaven. But when they don't, kishen oisim v'sir shalmokim agudasai. Wait, no, he's a different twist. See, here he's giving a different twist over here. Let's read very carefully the words over here. Kolzman, Shasvinos Keshudos Zoibazo, Palterin Kayamin, the palace that is built upon this foundation can continue to exist. But Parshu Safinos, Ein Palterin Kayamin. Koch, what is the Nimshal? Yisrael. Now, here's the key words. It's a little bit different than what we're used to. Kishoisin Ritsoino Shalmokoin. When they do Hashem's will, which means then boine aliyosav bashamayim, then they build the chambers. The foundation is firm, and they end up building a palten, a palace in heaven. They build something. Uchashein oisin ritzoinoi kiviyochol. Then it stops on the earth. Aguda soy al eretz yisada. It's a whole different approach to interpret the words. Then it remains on the ground. You will never achieve success. Success here in this pasuk is described if you can launch. If you can launch and you can go to Shemayim, you can go up high.
Connection.
That is the success. But what is failure? When you remain put, you're sitting put on the earth, agudasoi, al eretz yisada, your aguda, your band, remains stuck on the earth. If you come together, then it's going to be a boine v'ashamayim al ma'aloisav. Okay, so it would, you know what it would seem? It would seem to me, I'm not sure I'm saying that the interpretation, because it doesn't really make sense, it doesn't really fit. Something that doesn't really. It would appear that the Gemara is darshing the word agudasoy as if it was b'loshon rabim. Don't read it agudasoy. Read it agudosav. Why am I trying to say this? Because look at the word before that. Ma'aloisav. There's a kri v'chsif. It says in the pasuk, ma'aloisav without a yud. Which means the singular. Right? I'm sorry. It's written Ma'aloisav is written, the ksiv is without a yud, which means singular. There is only one ma'aloisav without the yud. Without the yud, what is it? We learned this in the Radak, it means v'loshani yochid. There is only one chamber in heaven. But that's not the tradition. The way we read it, the Kri V'Chsiv, we read it as if there is a Yud. And when there's a Yud, so what does it mean? It means Ma'aloi Sav Lashon Rabbah. There are many chambers in heaven. Now, let's play with the next word. V'Agu Dosoi. Agu Dosoi is spelled here in the Pasuk without a Yud, which means there's only one Aguda. And that's basically what we've been describing, we've been discussing until now, for the last 2 days. There's only one Aguda. Do not fracture into many groups. However, what would be if you would add a Yud in between the Sof and the Vav?
Plural.
Then it would turn into plural. And then it would mean there are many Agudos. Now, did we do that for the word before? We did. Ma'aloisof is spelled without, it's a Kri V'Chsiv, in the book of the Pasuk, 368, in the bottom of the Pasuk. Ma'aloisof is spelled without a Yud. And what is the Mesorah? To add a Yud, to transform it from one chamber, from Lashon Yochid to Lashon Rabbah. Perhaps, in this Maimar Chazal, because if you're not going to say this, this is very difficult to understand what it's trying to say, is we're discussing the obligation to join together as one Aguda. If we join together as one Aguda, then we're going to merit Ma'aloi Sof to ascend all the way to heaven. If we don't join together as one Aguda, but we fracture and we are many Agudois, if we add the Yud into Agudoisov, we make it not Agudosov, but Agudosov, then we will remain on the earth, Yisoda on the earth. Now, it doesn't say anywhere, but I'm trying to make sense of the Maimar Chazal, being that we do have in this pasuk a Kri V'Chsiv that would fit perfectly into the Agudosoi verse Agudosof. Problem, what I'm saying is the Mesoi of the Kri V'Chsiv is not in the word Agudosoi verse Agudosof, but rather it's in Ma'aloisov verse Ma'alosof. But maybe they're totally zebzeh.
They don't necessarily have to agree the two terms, singular and plural, right?
If there are
they don't have to.
They don't have. But the purpose of the Medrash is if you are split into many many groups, then you're going to remain. You're going to go nowhere fast.
Yeah.
You're going to sit on the earth.
Right.
You're not going to achieve success.
Right.
But that's not what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says, V'aguda so b'lashon yochid. There's only one Aguda. And according to the words of the Medrash, that means that's when you should achieve success, when you're one Aguda.
Right.
It would only make sense if the Medrash is reading the word Aguda so, not Aguda so, but Agudo sov. That when you remain on this earth in many little groups, then al eretz yisada, you're going to go nowhere fast. That would be a very nice drasha on this medrash. What the medrash is coming to teach us, there's two different ways to read the word. You can read the word agu da soy or agu da sof, b'loshen yachid, b'loshen rabim. The difference between success and going nowhere. That would all be very nice, but the Kri V'Chsiv in this pasuk is not on the word agu da soy. The Kri V'Chsiv is on ma'aloi sof. It's on the other words,
right.
So maybe that's not. It's a Jewish, and the Jewish you can do this as well in the word Agudasa. I don't know. I'm just suggesting that. Otherwise, it's very hard to understand what it means. Yeah.
Can't you say that there are many? I don't think that there's anything wrong with there being many, many different groups. And this is my own opinion. Whether it be Hasidish, Ashkenaz, Far. So long as we're all the same.
Right,
same.
Exactly,
everybody
of course.
Everybody should have their own
identity. Devarim Pshutim, of course.
It's not what we want.
Devarim Pshutim.
Of
course not, of course not, of course not. Diversity, of course not, but there's to be a balance. A balance. Just because you're different doesn't mean that I don't want to look at you, I don't want to know from you, and you're my enemy number one. There has to be a healthy balance between maintaining your uniqueness, there being competition, there being a different approach, but there are times when it's an absolute necessity to come together in order to achieve the greater goal.
That's the idea. You have five different fingers,
but they're
on
all
one
connected.
Hand. Five different fingers on each one has one function.
But they all come to
on one hand. There are five different fingers.
Each pluribus unum.
Okay, let's stop here. Take a short break.